Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Upfront. I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
This weekend marks an increasingly important day in the football calendar. Green Football Weekend starts on Friday and it's all about encouraging football fans and the wider community to make more sustainable choices in their everyday lives. This year, Green Football Weekend is asking supporters to consider vegetarian alternatives in their diet. And one of the campaign's ambassadors joins us today. It is the one and only England legend Demi Stokes. Rachel and I sat down with the Man City and England star to talk about a bit of everything from cooking to the title race to being a mum and fighting fires on and off the pitch. Right, Demi, you are one of the ambassadors for Green Football Weekend, and we understand you've contributed a recipe to the Green Football Weekend cookbook. Can you tell us what the recipe is and why that recipe?
So I actually picked, well, first of all, I'm not vegan, which is just, I'll say that I do very much like meat, but you know, the reason I'm doing it is because I think it's important to obviously help out. It's good for your gut. It's good for the environment. It's good to, you know, I always say, why wouldn't we help people where we can? So I always say, you know, that's my part. And I think if people can, you know, at least once a week try a veggie dish or, you know, then, you know, the world will be a better place. But mine is It's peas. It's basically kidney peas. It's very simple. You can have it as a curry. You can have it as a stew. And I always say when you've got nothing in the house, always add kidney beans, peas, whatever people say different, in your cupboards, because you can make a curry from it. You can make a stew. You can do a lot of things with them, and it's cheap. It's cheap and tasty at the same time.
Love that. I mean, it sounds like a win-win. I mean, how are you? What's the recipe itself, though? I mean, what spices, you know, what kind of like flavours are you doing with your kidney beans?
It's actually from one of a Jamaican cookbook. So I love Caribbean food, and I always say I could eat it every single day, but we all know that isn't good sometimes. But it's just got loads of it. Again, you can make it spicy. You can add scotch bonnet into it. It's got all-purpose seasoning, cumin. You can add curry powder again as well if you want it. So you can... It's quite versatile. And again, if you make it as a curry, you can have it with rice. You can have it, again, if you have it as a soup or a stew, you can add, you know, your potatoes, your carrots. So yeah, that's what I love about it, because you can just throw anything in and it's just packed with, like, obviously healthy stuff as well. And it fills you up and you don't have to cook for the week. Once you've got a big pan of that, you're sorted.
You sold me.
Yeah, we said this right before we started recording, that you were going to make us all very hungry on this podcast. So you've succeeded already. Have you always made time to cook as a professional footballer? I can't imagine it's always easy.
Yeah. And it's all I've ever... My mum was always cooking. I always say my mum was very good at... you know, when there was nothing in the house, she could whip something up and it'd be so nice. So I've always seen my mum cook. I've always watched her and I've always... like enjoyed it. I think until I actually moved away from home and you have to fend for yourself, I think that's when I started to experiment and explore with cooking. And I find it really relaxing. I find it really therapeutic, actually. And people go, what? They're like, I get so stressed out. So yeah, I find it relaxing. And then I also like the end goal, that if I'm cooking for someone, that they enjoy it. Like I like that. I love that. Because I'm like, do you like it?
What's more stressful, Demi? Is it going for the title race, or is it cooking dinner when you've know that you've got to really pull out a, you know, a show stopping dish?
Definitely title. Yeah, and to be fair, I always say the more the merrier. Like, that doesn't stress me out either. I actually don't know how to cook for one person. I probably struggle with that more.
And in terms of your sort of signature dish, I mean, you threw back there to kind of, you know, you've got some Caribbean influences there. I mean, I know for me, you know, growing up, my nan was a massive part of me. I'm an absolute shocking cook, but my nan was amazing at doing like dumplings, chicken rice and peas, you know, jerk chicken, you know, goat curries, that kind of thing. You know, followed by a little bit of rum punch as well. But what would be nice. Your favourite signature dish, like Caribbean or otherwise?
Signature dish. Yeah, I always go with jerk chicken, rice and peas, steamed cabbage is a winner. Oof. all the time.
Love that. I love that as well. I think we've all probably been influenced by grandparents or mothers, because I'm the exact same. Come from a family of very good cooks, but actually I'm not bad, but it intimidates me. I don't know about you, but I get quite like intimidated about the fact that, you know, I'm going to have to try and live up to what they've done. Do you ever feel a little bit like that, when you, especially if you cook for your family?
No, do you know what? No, I don't. Because I just think, if you don't like it, then... And then again, that's how we were all brought up as well. It was, you get what you're given, and if you don't eat it, you know, you stay hungry kind of thing. So
I love that.
I guess that my motto is the same as well. And if you're hungry later, you're heating it up as well. So.
Maybe I just need a little bit more, confidence. Why was getting involved with an initiative like Green Football Weekend, like, why was that important to you?
I think it's important for me. I think, obviously, as an athlete, we're always, you know, I guess, messing around with what you eat, and it's important what you eat, when you eat, and how you eat it. Well, I think it's important to, like I said to you, it's really important to look after your body. And obviously, we know, as an athlete, protein is so important, but equally, you can get it in different ways, and it doesn't have to come from meat. You know, I'm not veggie, I'm not vegan, but I think it is good to, I guess, give your body a restart and have a healthy gut. And I think as well, I always say it's cheaper. Like, meat is so expensive, and I like steak, lamb, you know, chicken, I like all of that, but it can become quite pricey. And I think as well, if you look at how, you know, the living crisis of people now, a lot of people are struggling. So I think for me, it was more about, you know, how can I guess influence, how can I guess input and just help families, help people, you know, I guess live a better lifestyle, because it is important that we look after our health. I think it's important that we look after the environment. And I think if everyone can have one veggie dish or vegan dish a week, or, you know, a couple of times a week, I think it'll be like such a massive difference, but equally to your pocket as well.
And you mentioned there sort of some of the environmental impacts, I suppose, of eating healthier. I mean, it sort of feels like common knowledge in a way that, you know, the meat industry isn't good for the planet, you know, methane gases, you know, the production, you know, large mass scale production of animals. And what would you sort of like to see football doing more of to combat the climate crisis? I mean, I know when I used to play, we used to chuck water bottles everywhere. We'd use boots, there'd be shirts, there'd be, you know, travel to games and things like that. I mean, what are the kind of the key things for you that, that you see football making an impact in?
To be fair, I think that there's been a good start. I think a lot of Premier League clubs are, you know, really involved as well. So obviously I know, you know, teams are flying places now, but I think, you know, the Premier League and Premier League clubs have, I guess, made a conscious effort. And I think it's a start that obviously you're going to get the bus instead of maybe flying. And, you know, do you really need to fly when, you know, you can get a bus? But equally, I think it's just about making it aware. So I think there's a lot of work to do. But there is a start and Premier League are involved, you know. I think, and it's about having, like, even just as simple as, like, your water bottle, just have a reusable one that, you know, you wash. I know we do that at City, that they get washed and you have the same bottle all the time rather than using, you know, plastic bottles and, you know, just making waste that way. So it's just, I think, little nuggets like that where I think teams can be a lot better. And by all means, like I've said, I think there's about 80 teams that have bought into it as well. So I think it's a start. It's not where it needs to be, but I just think if we can, you know, get more awareness out there, get fans as well, because, you know, the amount of fans that go to games and maybe the food they get, or, you know, the waste, the polystyrene chips come in and all that kind of thing. I think, you know, you do start to see it more, and I think a lot of people will buy in. And it's even just like you go into a game and it's like, oh, actually, you know, Kyle Walker's into it, so actually I'm going to give it a go. And if it's good enough for, you know, athletes, then why is it, you know, it's good enough for us too. So I think it's just about making little nuggets of conscious efforts, I think. And I think just reminding yourself, and because, you know, we live in a fortunate world, and not everyone has that. So I think if we can all buy in, make the, you know, planet a lot better, and, you know, and be healthier, it's win-win.
Well, turning sort of back to matters on the pitch and sort of honing in a little bit on more your career and how things have been for you for the past year and a half or so, and it kind of links in quite nicely, I suppose, because nutrition is sort of part of, you know, the recovery process. You know, my physio used to swear by blueberries as antioxidants. I don't know whether that's an old wives' tale, whether that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've had sort of quite a tough time with injuries over the past season and a half. So sort of where are you at now? How are you feeling?
I've struggled with injury the last year or so, which has been a really frustrating time. And I think as an athlete, as you guys know, you get even more frustrated when you go, well, I'm doing the right things, you know, to why it's happening. And sometimes that's just part and parcel of football and, you know, how it is. But I'm healthy now, I'm back now, injury free. So it's just about obviously getting the ball rolling, keep pushing. But yeah, I think again, nutrition is massive. I always say food is mood. You know, I always say if I'm starving, I become really hungry, and you know, it does affect you. So yeah, all injury free, you know, back with the team. And now it's just obviously about pushing to get minutes and, you know, keep going.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear you're injury free. It must have been really tough as well, I guess, during the summer, kind of seeing England out in Australia. What did you make of that, and I guess how do you deal with that as a player?
Do you know what? I'm very logical, and I think obviously that does help. And I think as well, like, all my friends were there, so I'm like, do you know what? I couldn't even be better. I was like a fangirl, to be honest. Like, we had our England tops on. I got Harlan like a little England t-shirt and shorts. And, you know, like I say, you have ups and downs, and, you know, in football, and you're going to have them in life. So I think it's just how you deal with it. But yeah, I was just so buzzing for the girls and so proud. And I wanted them to do well. So yeah, it was good. It was good to watch them in the summer, and it was actually quite enjoyable being on the other side, because I think obviously when you're in it, you don't, everything, you're in a big bubble, you don't really like get to enjoy it, I guess. So from my end, it was nice to support the girls.
And you became a mum back in 2022. It might be a bit late for this, but congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you feel like becoming a mum has kind of put things into perspective a little bit? You know, when you're playing football, it's so intense, you know, it's such a demanding environment. Do you feel like actually being a mum has kind of, you know, you've reevaluated, I suppose, what's important to you and kind of, you know, reflected a bit more, I suppose, on things?
Yeah, I think obviously when you become a parent, I guess you worry about the things that really do matter. And I always think like your health, like we take that for granted all the time. And like, I don't know, when Harlan's up in the night, we've got to run a bloody A&E because he's up in the night. You think, oh, this is what's important. This is, you know, what it's about. And don't get me wrong, football is the best thing and it always will be. But I think when you have kids, I guess the little things you probably worry about just go out the window because you just think, as long as this little human's all right, then everything doesn't matter.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, we are going to ask you about some of your teammates now. I know you've just talked about putting things into perspective, but obviously teammate Jill Ward, unfortunately, ruptured her ACL during training last week. I guess as someone who's gone through injuries and struggled with that kind of thing, you know, what was your reaction to that? How is she doing? How has the team kind of gotten around her?
Yeah, I think obviously we're all absolutely gutted for Jill. But I think she's, you know, got the best care, the best physio, the best support. And I think if you watch the game, obviously we had that T-shirt for her and just the support. But yeah, all the girls have been round her. We are absolutely good because she's been absolutely brilliant. She's been flying since she came in. And yeah, it's just an awful injury. It's not a nice injury, and no one should have to go through that. But Jill is, you know, very resilient, very strong-willed. So I know that she will be okay, and we will be, you know, around her every step of the way.
Last season, the title race was a four-horse race for the first time ever, obviously with Man United kind of stepping up and joining the big boys. This season, it's looking like three, but we've kind of been here before, I suppose. So do you think that actually this year is Man City's year? Do you think this is the year that City are going to take that title from Chelsea's very tight clutch?
I hope so. I really do hope so, because we keep saying that we've not won it for a long time. But like yeah, football's crazy and the results are crazy and we always see mad results. But yeah, I think for us it's not trying to think too far ahead. I think at the minute we've just gone game to game. We've done well with that. We're winning, and we're playing well. We're playing really good football. So I think if we, you know, keep honing in on us and focusing on that, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
Well, how important is mentality when you're in this kind of title race, especially when you're chasing someone like Chelsea who've won it so many times in a row now. What kind of impact does that have?
I think it's probably like not overthinking it too much or thinking, oh, well, you know, we can win it, or you know, I think it's, you literally go game to game and it's like, right, okay, we've got Leicester coming up next, right, let's get that put to bed. And it's about, actually, not every game is going to be pretty, not every game is going to be a good performance, but actually it's about being resilient, clinical, and just getting points on the board, because that, and you know, I always say, I don't care what it looks like as long as we're winning, because that does result as we've, I mean, I think for the last few years it's been between like 1 or 2 points, so it's really fine margin, and that's what it's about. So yeah, just game by game.
Sounds cliche, but that's so it. True.
Yeah.
Talk us through sort of the hype, the excitement you felt when you won the sort of the title with Man City back in 2015-16 season. I mean, what was it that, I mean, how did you celebrate first off? I mean, you weren't a mum back then. Do you feel like, you know, you could go a little bit wilder and now you maybe have to, you know, have a little bit of a party, but then go back and, you know, nappies and, you know, getting up in the middle of the night type vibes?
No, I think it's important. Again, balance, all about balance. You've got to enjoy yourself. I always touch on 2016 because, you know, we did the treble then. But it sounds so simple, but I remember that year we used to always say, don't concede, like we're not conceding. And I think that year we conceded 3 goals or 4, but 3 of them were penalties, I remember. But I remember like the topic, even in like training, it was like, just like defend for your life, like do what you've got to do. But it was an open conversation with the full team, and it was, we almost got a buzz that we hadn't conceded, and it was always like, yeah, this next game make sure we don't, like this next game make sure we don't. And it sounds really simple because it's not just about having the conversation and it works out for you, but I remember that year 2015 when we first started, I think, again, we missed out, I think, by 1 or 2 points the season before. So I think we knew you just had to be on it and you just had to do what it was or anything it took to make sure that, you know, you were performing and that you were getting, I guess, the points on the board. What did we do? We definitely would have... Do you know what? I don't think we partied as much as you'd think, because I think... Isn't the FA Cup final always... after as well, yeah. After the league. So you almost, I always say, yeah, I think that is right. But you almost have to go, all right, well, we've done that now. And then you go, oh, next week is the FA Cup final. Or, so you almost go, all right, okay, you move on quite quick from it. So I think only till now, when you look back, you think, yeah, wow, that was, you know, that was impressive. That was really good. Because, you just go game to game, you go, right, well, that's ticked off, I've done that, I've accomplished that, and then you go, right, okay, back on it, recovery, and, but, yeah, we did party, I think. I always laugh, because I was actually speaking to Jill about this the other day, but I remember we went out for food after, I think we won the league, and we must have went to Gusto or somewhere, steak place, and she said, oh, I'll have my steak sliced, please. and I was just like, who do you think you are? She's like, I just won the league. But I'll never forget that. And it was just something so simple where we were just like, oh yeah, we'll have a steak and then we'll get it sliced because we can. I think that's probably how we celebrated.
Is Jill Ward sort of one of the big characters? I feel like you and Jill together could probably have your own kind of like talk show. Is there sort of like who are the big characters who kind of pull you into that kind of big game mentality, who provide the kind of, I know, the show tunes, the banter in the change room?
What, like in the past or like now, you mean?
We'll do a past and present. Yeah, I'd love to know.
I think in the past, I think obviously Jill Scott, obviously, because, you know, she's just the clown, the class clown. So definitely Jill. I think at the time as well, like Tony Duggan was at Man City. So, you know, she was always good for that. Now at City, I'd probably say it's Kiara, to be honest. Kiara's a good time. She's hilarious, that girl. Trying to think, Ruby as well. She's the DJ as well. Good music. But yeah, I always see the kids, meet me kids, and I always get called mum. Everyone is like, "Good morning, mum." But no, I'd probably see them too. They keep us entertained, and they're always on TikTok and doing dances. And I think, yeah, they're like, "Do you want to get in there?" I'm like, "No, I'm okay. I'll just watch."
Such a mum response as well.
Yeah.
You were talking there about when you won it and how it was all about not conceding. And actually, this season, I think you've conceded the least amount so far this season. So, you know, that could be an omen, Demi, right there.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of competitiveness of the league, because we always talk about, like, no one's ever lost two games and won the league. Do you think that kind of that's going to change eventually? Like, that being able to maintain that level is going to change given how competitive the league has become?
Probably not a lot, maybe, because even if you look at it, is it the Premier League as well, that's quite similar, that if you, once you've lost a certain game, you know, you've not got, you know, a chance kind of thing. So, like I always say at the beginning of the season, it's so important to get your win, like get your points on the board, because I think as well, that's where you see people drop points at the beginning, and also after Christmas, you have your Christmas break. And I always touch on last year, actually, I think the Christmas break come at a bad time for us because we were flying, you know, so that break sometimes kills you. But no, I think it's always going to be tight, I think, because, you know, training's improving, people are training more, the level of girls, what you get in the training you get when you're younger is a lot better. Like I always say, God, we train twice a week, literally, what, you got 3 hours a week, whereas now you're seeing, you know, I said, if I was 10 now, I'd be absolutely buzzing, because the difference of like coaching and the level of it, and I guess the access you get on the field is just, it's night and day. So I think it's just going to keep growing. It's just going to become so competitive. But it's what we want. And I always say, you know, I'm very fortunate for obviously what other players have done to get us in this position. And it's important that, you know, we do the same as well.
Yeah, for sure. You talked a bit there about sort of the youngsters that you kind of, you know, speak to, Kiara Keating, Ruby. Do you give them advice about sort of what to expect, you know, going into kind of, you know, the England setup and things like that? Do you sort of, I feel like there's a confidence about younger players now. Do you ever sort of sit there and say, oh, back in my day, you know, we had those 3 hours of training?
Yeah, honestly, I sometimes feel like I'm a fossil, because I'll be like, God, when we were younger, we didn't do that. Or when we were younger, we didn't get that. And they're like, and then I go, oh God, I'm old. And then equally forget how young they are. But yeah, I always think it's so important to, like, as an older player, to, I guess, take the younger ones in under your wing and, you know, look after them. Like, it's funny now, like, Kiara's bought a house and I'm like, what have you cooked for tea? Or, you know, how is it going? And she went, God damn it, I'm tired. I'm tired now. I have to fend for myself. I'm like, I'll give over. But yeah, I think it's so important to look after the younger ones, because the pressure alone is so different to what it was when we were younger. And again, you've got money involved now, and you know, it's just you've got media, and it's just little things. It's even like yesterday, we were on the train coming back, and I said, what have you got on that? And Kiara and Ruby are like, filming something, and I'm like, you can't film, like, get it off, like, you can't be live, like, you know. And it's just like little things like that, and they're like, well, what's wrong with that? Because it's just all they've ever known. So yeah, it's so important, because I just think it's important that the younger ones have, you know, the right people around them, because that's all someone needs sometimes, is a little arm around them, or a little reminder to be like, actually, no, you know, sort yourself out, or you know, work harder, or like little things like that. So yeah, you do feel old when you're like that.
Do you ever go around to Kiara's and teach her how to cook? It sounds like she might need some sort of
do you know advice. What? She's doing good, you know. She's doing good. That's what I said. I said I'm a proud mum, my child's growing up. But she's actually quite good. She'll come in, she'll be like, Demi, I did the sweet chili salmon and I've done this and I've done that. Or one of the kids, Lois, of the kids, she said she doesn't know how to cook. So I said, right, I set her a challenge. I said, right, try and cook one meal a week. And she was like, oh, don't know where to start. I said, right, well, what can you make? She went, pasta. I said, right, make a bolognese. So she made me a bolognese. She made me a carbonara. So it's just like little things like that to get them to...
I see how it's working, Demi. You kind of teach the kids how to make food and then you encourage them to bring in your dinner.
Yes, see.
A little bit of a racket going on here.
It's important rather than just being on the case going, oh, you need to do this. I think there's different avenues you can get them to, I guess, do things without even having to, I guess, them complain about it.
And you wonder why they call you mum.
Well, yeah.
What have you made for tea?
Yeah.
And with Kiara especially, I think, you know, I spoke to her just before Christmas. I did an interview. We were sort of saying, you know, she is set to be sort of, you know, one of the first, if not the first mixed race goalkeeper, you know, to get to the Lionesses. And you just think sort of how much of a kind of proud moment that is, her as a role model, you know, being only, you know, a baby, essentially. I mean, is that something you kind of speak to her about, sort of being one of the only few sort of mixed race black role models in, you know, in sort of positions of prominence in the WSL and the Lionesses setup? Because I think it's unreal.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's anything per se I guess I've spoke to her about, but again, we're always on a case and we're like, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing. Make sure you do this because we're like, you know, you can be good and you are going to be good if you, you know, keep your head screwed on and you do the right things. I probably wouldn't per se, I guess, put it as, you know, the first mixed race, but we always do a reminder and say, like, you know, although you are young, you've still got a responsibility and, you know, you are a role model now. But again, her personality, that's what we keep saying as well. We're like, keep how you are, like, don't change, because equally that's what we love about you, that she's just so daft and so authentic and she's always laughing and, you know, so, yeah, we always like, rein her in and make sure that we're encouraging her, but, you know, keeping an eye on her at the same time. But, yeah, again, I just think, you know, the kids are the future and they are the ones who are going to be, you know, there when we're retired and all that. So it's important to help them out and, you know, put them in the right direction, because equally we all had the same. We all had good people around us.
Yeah, for sure. We touched on the Lionesses there. Obviously, Serena Wiegmann extended her contract to 2027 recently. And obviously has changed things for the Lionesses and changed results. What kind of impact do you feel she had on you when she first arrived?
I think Serena was good for everyone. I think, you know, at the time, I think we needed someone to come in who was, you know, direct, ruthless. You know, and I guess as a player, you knew where you stood. She was always honest with that. And I think we needed that because we were, again, margins away from, you know, we kept making semi-finals and it was almost like, but what is it? Why can't we keep, you know, why do we get to the same, you know, position and almost get stuck? I remember she spoke to everyone. She spoke to every single player and basically got, I guess, a reading and an understanding. And, you know, so I think she really took into account what everyone said. And I guess she basically changed what needed to be changed, and obviously you can see, obviously, with the results, you know, England are thriving, they're playing well, and again, I think it's good that she signed another new contract, because if you look at the England team, it is so young, it is, you know, and I think if you look at the talent that they've got, is the talent's incredible. So I think we've got a bright future for England.
And we spoke to Kylie Telford last summer, and she was sort of saying how much Serena still sort of speaks to players even when they drop out of the squad. Do you still have sort of regular contact with Serena? Do you still sort of speak to her and sort of, you know, give her a nudge and things like that, or sort of check in on how you're both doing?
Yeah, no, like more so last year, obviously, with when I wasn't in the squad, she would always ring, she would always check in, and she would always, I guess, explain why you weren't picked. And I think obviously as a player that is important to obviously know why and where you stand. But I think as well, naturally, I haven't had a lot of minutes, so she was like, I can't pick you. So again, you know, that's so understandable. But yeah, she always, you know, checks in and asks, you know, how Harlan is. And I always say I was, you know, when Harlan was born, I had to go away, and I was really grateful that, you know, Serena allowed Harlan to come into camp and, you know, interact with everyone, because it was a tough time to be away from Harlan. So, you know, I was really grateful for that, and, you know, how understanding she was, I guess, as a bit of being a parent as well.
Love that. I still remember those very, very cute pictures that came out as well. It was adorable.
Yeah, I've got that in the house, to be fair, and Harlan always points to it.
I was going to ask, tell me you have that framed. I'm glad you do.
Yeah, it is. It's in the kitchen, and he sits. He's always on the table if I'm making his bottle, or he sometimes thinks he's helping me cook. And he always points to it, and I said, it's Harlan, and he goes.
Are you his favourite member of the squad, or is there someone else that he loves?
To be fair, because he was so young, he went to anyone. He just literally got passed about. But I always laugh because I think he doesn't know the magnitude of that picture just yet. But I think when he's older, it'll be a really, really cool story. And he was at the final as well. Oh. So, you know, when he sees the videos and the pictures, I'll tell him it was because of him. He was a lucky charm.
100%. I can't believe that. One of only 80,000 people to get tickets to that,
final. I know, 6 weeks old, he was just like, not a clue what's going
on. I'm hoping he was awake. I mean, what a thriller it was. I hope he didn't fall asleep.
No, I don't think he was. I think he was asleep.
I mean, that's one for his 18th birthday for sure.
Exactly.
Debbie, I've got to ask, thank you so much for your time with us. I really, really appreciate it. But we always want to know, you know, what the sort of future looks like for you, what your ambitions look like, you know, what are we going to see in the future, Demi Stokes, in 5-10 years time? What are you going to be up to?
5-10 years? Well, I'm hoping. Well, I probably will be retired in 5 years. But I always say that I want to join the fire service.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always something I've wanted to do, and I always think it'd be such a, I guess, rewarding job. But I know how my brain is, and I know how I am, that I can't sit still. So I'm going to need a job that keeps me, I guess, on my toes, keeps me busy. So yeah, probably the fire service, I think.
Wow. I mean, fighting fires on and off the pitch, it seems to flow. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that.
Amazing. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. I mean, from Lionesses, Man City hero, to literally saving lives. I mean, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. Maybe like a chef or something. I enjoy cooking. I like a lot of things. I like nutrition. I like to cook. I like, you know, so who knows? But definitely fire service, I think.
Watch this space. Well, thank you so much for giving up your incredibly valuable time. Every minute, I suppose, counts as you sort of edge closer to that WSL title. So really, really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you, Demi.
Good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, best of luck.
Thank you for having us. Go and make some nice food now.
I'm still hungry. I have literally no culinary skills whatsoever. It's going to be cheese on toast for me in bed, probably.
Up Front is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.